your usul, to your furu, to your akhlaq, when you are in the state of fasting, when we are all in the state of fasting, our triangle is connected completely. We are so conscious while we're fasting. If I do this, if I say this, if I swallow, if I inhale this, this and that, will it break my fast? If I look at this, if I joke about this, we are so in tune with not breaking Allah's obligation and somehow not breaking the roza that we're in or the fast that we're in, that our belief in Tawheed is so bright at that moment. You come to the second point in the triangle, worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who don't regularly pray salat, while you're fasting, you make it a point to never miss one salat. They say that in the month of Ramadan, there's two things that we know that we don't normally know. It's the exact minute that Fajr starts. It's the exact minute that Maghrib starts. It's the beginning of that fast, it's the end of that fast. Because we are so in tune with our worship that we want to make sure that we wrap this fast around du'as and salat and ziyat, etc., etc. Of course, our akhlaq. We control our temper, we control our tongue. We actually find ourselves telling ourselves that I would tell you something if I wasn't fasting. I would say something to you if I wasn't fasting. Or come talk to me after I open my fast, then I can talk to you openly. It's a beautiful concept. If you think about it, the idea that the triangle of taqwa that Islam has introduced to all of us is a solid triangle when we are fasting. That's why time and time again they say the day of Eid is a day of celebration for those who fasted. This day of Eid for us is the awards day for the season of spirituality, starting from Rajab to Sha'ban to the month of Ramadan. And now if you have taken appropriate steps, you should be on the day of celebration. But Eid is such a day that even those who don't fast, they celebrate Eid. We don't care about any other moon in the world, but the moon of Shawwal for some reason turns our hair gray. It's a day of celebration. It is a day. It's funny. My teacher explains it very beautifully. One salat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. He says the word fitr, Eid al-Fitr, we say. Fatara in Arabic has a very beautiful meaning to it. My teacher explained that when you grow wheat in the fields, the way these farmers know that the wheat is ready to be plucked and then whatever they want to do with it, is they watch it. And they say that the moment that all of the dead weeds around that wheat begins to disappear, and a small new green growth is seen on the stem of that wheat is ready to be plucked. And that green growth on that piece of wheat is known as fatara in Arabic. Allahu Akbar. When we are celebrating Eid al-Fitr, we're looking for that same growth around us. We entered the month of Ramadan with bad habits, with akhlaqi diseases, with issues in our worship, and all those dead weeds around our wheat were there. Now slowly, slowly, bit by bit, hopefully we're plucking one by one till we get to the point where inside of our souls and our nafs, there's a new growth in there. And that new growth is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As difficult as these fasts were for all of us, and like I said, if you think it's difficult now, next 6 years, guys, is very difficult. But at the same time, besides the fact of the complaints of here and there, the pains of hunger and thirst, we felt this sense of cleansing. We felt this sense of accomplishment. We felt like we belong to something, we worship somebody, and He has His eyes on us. So those of us who are celebrating Eid, the true Eid, inshallah, this week, we're looking for that growth on our nafs that will block the mawani', those obstacles in the growing of our own nafs, that green growth that's connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then and only then is it Eid for us. That's why we have a very beautiful hadith by Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam. He says, the day that you don't commit a sin, that day is Eid for you. That's the arrival of that green growth that we talked about. And again, we look at this idea that the day of our Eid is a day of celebration and a day of hope. Our traditions tell us that we have hope on that day for three things. And that hope isn't around the biryani, I'm sorry to say. The first hope we have is the hope of the acceptance of our worship. Because unfortunately we have in a hadith that a lot of us, unfortunately, this past month of fasting was nothing but a hunger strike. Our salat was nothing but going up and down for 5 minutes, burning 20 plus calories. We hope that it was beyond the hunger strike. We hope that we were able to fast with our eyes, our ears, our tongue, our heart, our entire wujud in existence. And Allah accepts that. Our second hope was that the hope of the forgiveness of our sins that we begged for on the night of Qadr. 3 nights of this month, we begged Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to just, if not anything else, just forgive the mistakes that I've made. And after all that, of course, the third hope we have is the hope for the reward of our worship. One is the acceptance, one is forgiveness, one is reward. Because now we have tasted this concept of the fact that our body is so weak and our soul is so strong. You could feel sometimes the struggle, the pulling by both factors inside of us. Where your body is screaming for water, screaming for a bite to eat. As the day goes on, you get hungrier and hungrier, thirstier and thirstier. You're tired, you're cranky, you're completely drained. But not once did you ever, at least I don't think we ever, accepted this notion of just for a moment, allow a drop of water to go down my throat. If we brush our teeth, we'll spit out 45 times to make sure not one drop goes down our throat. Our body is screaming for our soul says, I'm sorry. And we've allowed, like I said before, we have allowed this system, unfortunately, where we are ambassadors of our body and enemies of our soul. Because as it gets closer to Maghrib, we become more and more cranky, more and more angry. Don't talk to me, don't look at me, no discussion with me, let me have my iftar. If the phone rings, don't answer it, it's iftar time. Who could be calling right now? Why aren't they eating their iftar, etc., etc. And then we look at the Ahlul Bayt. The hadith says, Tafsir says, at the moment of iftar, these three came at the door of Amir al-Mu'mineen. At the moment, not that as he was finishing, whatever was left he gave. At the moment of iftar, there was a knock on the door. And the beauty of it, it wasn't only Amir al-Mu'mineen who gave everything he had. Fatima Zahra, salamu alayhi, also gave everything she had. So yes, while we have stages to grow on, we have a long way to go, there is accomplishments. And we should enjoy the day of Eid, a day of celebration, a day of hope. Because now, once the second of Shawwal comes, Shaitan now is clear to go. The doors of mercy are not as open as they were before. And our training ground, our training work, our training system is over. 3 months of training, we've had Rajab, Sha'aban, and month of Ramadan. And now we're live. And Allah waits for us and says, did you or were you able to gain anything in these 90 days for you now to be able to fight Shaitan? Because what was once, like I said, impossible for us to do, we did day in and day out in the month of Ramadan. The idea of waking up for Salatul Layl is almost impossible for some of us. Half an hour before the Adhan of Fajr. But when it came time for us to fathom the idea of fasting without suhoor and sahri, we got up out of bed so fast. We wolfed down whatever we could wolf down. Just because psychologically I can't fast 16 hours without having suhoor. Ambassadors of the body, enemies of our soul. Your body screams that, look, you need to put some glass or put some water inside of me before imsak time. And you listen to the body, you get up out of your warm bed. You just went to bed 2 hours ago, but you're coming down, stumbling, scratching your eyes, opening your eyes, splashing water on your face, just for that bowl of cereal, those eggs, that glass of water. Because your body asked for it. Your soul is asking for it as well, every single morning, to get up before the azan. Let me taste the pleasure and the lizzat and the sustenance of worship the same way you allowed the body to taste that water and that cereal. So now that we have understood how powerful the soul can be when trained, let's always remember the idea and the lessons from this month of Ramadan is that we can do this in this society. A lot of you worked 40 hours a week and were able to come to the center. And all those times that you thought you had no time for any of it, all of a sudden now you found time for every single thing. So let's pick up, let's understand that the triangle of taqwa in our own personal lives was fulfilled in this month of Ramadan. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts our worship. A lot of zahmat, I think, was done in ensuring that every day there were programs here. And a lot of you came, mashallah. May Allah accept that effort of yours. And most importantly, if anything we gain from this month, we gain forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because there's no point in moving forward if we still have baggage left behind. Let's clear up that baggage. Let's move on, inshallah. One salat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So when you look at the way that Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wa salam, one salat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. When you see as he bids farewell to the month of Ramadan in Sahih Sajjadiyya, if you have a moment these next few days, read it. It's online. It's available everywhere. Before sending salams to the month, he creates a metaphor almost like the month of Ramadan was a good friend of ours who came, he stayed with us, and now his departure is bringing about pain for us. Where now he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you granted us life in this month. I ask you to grant us life so we can see the next year's month as well. So now when we enter the life after the month of Ramadan, we want to keep this high that we're right now on a very high, are we not? We're glowing inside of us. We feel fantastic. We want to keep that feeling going after the day of Eid. This is where the beauty of Islam comes about. When you look at things philosophically, you understand. If we're able to kind of control our eyes and our tongue and our stomach, etc., etc., we can get to a point where we can continue this path of taqwa beyond the month of Ramadan. We had a session last night with the youth. We talked about the power of the tongue. And I mentioned to the youth last night that Imam Sajjad in his treatise on rights talks about the right of the tongue, haqqul lisan. The right of the tongue is that you don't use it for anything beyond the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you don't use it for ghibat, for gossiping, for lying, for tuhmat, for slander, for character assassination. And then he talks about vain talk. Excessive complimenting. The second idea is desire, like I said. As many of you know, if you control your desires, we have inside of us this quwwat al-shahwiyah, as many of you know, the power of attraction inside of us. And this power of attraction, we are not the religion that says for us to deny us that desire. We believe desire and lust to be a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, provided that it is controlled by our aql. If it's not controlled by our aql, then we have individuals like we have in this society where wherever the nafs says, you do. Whatever the nafs wants, you give it. Whatever the nafs wants to eat or drink, you allow it. Whoever the nafs wants to love, you allow it. Your nafs now has become your god when it's not controlled by your aql. That's why the state of the animal that exists inside the human being, if you allow it to get fiercer and fiercer, it literally controls your body. That's why these athletes, these actors, these individuals who are CEOs of major corporations who make billions of dollars, and you would think their life is set, they're always caught up in some scandal. Alcohol, the opposite gender, drugs, gambling, etc., etc. Then they either end up losing their job, losing their fame, losing their respect, or they commit suicide. Or they OD, let's say, on drugs. And the reason that ulama says is because their desire and their innate nature towards the unlimited, they believe that in unlimited, that la mahdud, is something that's materialistic. So they keep filling that capacity with money, with fame, with fortune, with women, with alcohol and drugs, and they still feel empty at the end of the day. They still feel depressed, stressed out. They say that the gharib, the poor individual, sleeps better at night than the rich man does. Because a gharib knows that, look, tomorrow I have hope for a better day. It couldn't have gotten worse than it was today. The poor, the rich man sleeps with his money under his pillow with the hopes that it's not gone in the morning when I wake up. Tossing and turning, nightmares and night terrors, etc., etc. Because they have not realized, this society has not realized that every single individual has an internal call for the unlimited. We don't like limits. If I give you one car, you'd accept a second one, etc., etc. But what we figure out, alhamdulillah, is that that unlimited is not anything materialistic. I'm turning that innate call for the unlimited towards you, Allah. You are my unlimited. Now, whether or not you have anything in your account or anything in your fridge or clothes on your back, if you have Allah, you have itminan, you have sukoon, you have contentment. I'm sure many of you know individuals who may not be that well off, quote unquote, but their life is so simple, they're at such sukoon, their family is doing so well. And then there are those who try to be close to Allah, but are the richest of the riches. And they're constantly stressed, they're sleep deprived, their BP is up, their cholesterol is up. The point I'm trying to make is that in this month of ours, where we were the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah showed us for a moment what it feels like when He is hosting our day-to-day actions. And we allow ourselves to be His guests. It's not just that we are the guest of Allah in this month. We are always the guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's hosting us. But in this month, He kind of gave us a very concrete preview of what it's like if you just allow yourself to enslave yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You'll have this dunya, you'll have the akhirah as well. One salat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So my brothers and my sisters, in my last discussion with all of you, I simply want to remind myself, my family, all of you, that the feeling that we had felt in the past days, in this month of ours, that to me, if you ask me, gained momentum. There came a time in the first few days of this month where we were focused solely on the body. We couldn't handle the hunger. We couldn't handle the thirst. After 4 or 5 days, we got accustomed to it. Now it's the idea where we are training our body that, look, besides, provided the sun is up, you will not have anything to eat or sleep or eat or drink, and you were okay with that. The fasting became easier as the month went on. Our soul equally needs that training. You've allowed the soul what it feels like to have night prayers. You've allowed the soul to taste the idea that you are awake before the sun is awake. You've allowed the soul to taste that first you pray Salat al-Jama'at, and then you have that kujur in your mouth. And the moment that kujur goes down your throat, your soul is completely satisfied, and now your body is also satisfied. Your entire existence now is in the realm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You now are completely the guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that feeling of euphoria, that feeling of contentment, that feeling of an accomplishment, that's the feeling we get if we simply allow Allah to host us in this world. Because when you go to someone's house and they are the host, they tell you where to sit, they tell you and offer you what to eat when, and very few of us, depending on how comfortable we are, will ask them, oh, you made this today, you didn't make this today for dinner. Again, chicken, what? There's no beef in today's menu. None of us would say that. If they put chole in front of you, you won't say, oh, you don't have samosas in the fridge, you can quickly fry up. You wouldn't say that. Whatever the host gives you, they give you out of the goodness of their heart and understanding what you might like. But if we are hosted by our Creator, can you imagine the difference? Everything He gives our way, every hukum He gives our way, everything He places in front of us has to be and can only be for our betterment. So instead of fighting it to my youth, instead of fighting it after the month of Ramadan, Allow yourself to be enslaved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tread the path of the ubudiyat of Allah. Allow yourself to worship Allah in everything that you do. Before you start studying, there are du'as online that can be read before you start. You read that du'a, you begin to study. You read one ayat, you ponder on the tafsir, and you begin to study. Now that 5 hours, 6 hours of that paper you're writing, it could be on something that's non-Islamic. That time is worship in Allah's eyes. You take a break. Let's say, for example, you have a tasbih in your hand, whatever the case may be, you can create any environment for you to be around the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask you please, on the day of Eid, do not forget me in your du'as, inshallah. I ask you that when you do pray for your acceptance, pray also for my acceptance, inshallah. I'm being selfish now. And I ask you, inshallah, that if I had said anything to upset any of you, it was never on purpose. It was always accidental. Because if I have hurt any of you, and if you don't forgive me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't forgive me either. So I ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to first of all accept this qaleel ibadat, inshaAllah. We ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you have allowed us to taste what it feels like to be hosted by you across this entire month. We ask you, Allah, do not leave us after the month of Ramadan, inshaAllah. We ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to accept our du'as. Forgive our sins. Forgive the sins of our marhumin, inshaAllah. Allow our youth to understand that there is pleasure in worship, not pleasure in sin. We ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one du'a that we have constantly is that there's so much bloodshed, tyranny, injustice, corruption all over the world. And while we do our part, our one du'a on our lips is the coming of our Savior, inshaAllah. We ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to hasten that reappearance. Allow us to be companions alongside him during his mission. Thank you very much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. علي حبه جنة وسيم النار والجنة وسي المصطفى حقا إمام الناس والجنة.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge with Sheikh Mukhtar on IRIB English Radio.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin. I extend my congratulations to those believers and those Muslims that are living in countries where the Eid has been announced. And I also ask those who are still fasting and are within the holy month of Ramadan to pray for us and for the believers all around the world. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the topic of a guide for managers based on the teachings of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. We are currently focusing on the 185th sermon where Imam Ali alayhi salam is talking about certain expectations that we as humans have to have, especially when we are in a society in which a leader needs to be able to guide his or her community towards. So what is important here is that we keep in mind these affairs with regards to how there could be changes in the society based on what we do and what we do not do. And therefore, this understanding will help us have the right forms of expectations with regards to things that are surrounding us. This is very important for a leader to have in mind when he is trying to guide his or her community.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Now, we reach this phrase where Imam Ali alayhi salam says that the reason why you see these social problems, like for example, you planning something but the results not happening in the best of ways, or the affairs of the community going in the opposite direction, not coming towards you for progress, but rather leaving you and not allowing you, rather causing you not to progress and to diminish. What is the reason behind it? Why is it that certain times all those connections that you have made, all those good systems that you have made are all now getting disconnected and going away? What is the reason? Imam Ali alayhi salam says that the reason is that because the community becomes drunk with blessings. Now, you know, sometimes when you talk about blessings, this could also include spiritual blessings, not only physical blessings. By spiritual blessings, we mean that in the society, there are various opportunities for religious progress. There are mosques, there are madrasas, there are teachers, there is everything ready for you. But then you are not taking advantage of that. You know, it also happens sometimes that these spiritual blessings might be present right in front of you, but you do not take advantage of these spiritual blessings in the right way. So what happens is a person kind of becomes drunk with those blessings, the physical and also the spiritual to a certain degree in this interpretation. But for sure, the physical and the material blessings, if a person is not careful about them, doesn't, you know, keep them in the right place and does not use them in the best way as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects him to use, then you will notice that this community will enter into a state of drunkenness. And during the time of Imam Ali alayhi salam, we see that there were a lot of blessings materially. Yes, at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was the leader, and a little bit after that, there were certain material deficiencies which the Prophet ﷺ tried his best to alleviate with different projects, and through his mastery in leadership he was able to achieve to a certain degree. But of course his life did not allow him to continue that leadership, and then there were some issues that happened after that, which people can all read history and see. But my focus today is to make us realize that it so happens that people get drunk with their blessings. They do not see and are not able to focus on the higher aims for those blessings that he has been given and they have been given as a society.
Nahjul Balagha, translated as the Peak of Eloquence, is a compilation of sermons, letters, and sayings that reflected Imam Ali's profound insights on governance, ethics, spirituality, and social justice. Sayyid Razi's meticulous work in preserving and presenting Imam Ali's words has made Nahjul Balagha a timeless source of inspiration for scholars, theologians, and seekers of wisdom.
Now what happens is that sometimes when the blessings become very much in number, the problem is not with the blessing, the problem is the way the people either utilize them or they interpret, the way they interpret this, you can say, multitudinous in terms of blessings. So sometimes people just use them and use them in different ways without actually thinking about the reason why they are using those blessings. Sometimes people may be thinking, but their ideology is completely different. You know, they think they have a material way of thinking and they don't see the spiritual dimension of things. Whatever the case, these blessings can have some effects. One of those effects, when a person like has too many blessings around them and he's not focused on what is the right thing for him to do, that means he's not duty-centric, he's blessings-centric rather, and he just looks at those apparent material things, is that it can lead to very strong class differences in the society in terms of economic situations. So, after all, these blessings are limited, even if they may be in high number, but because of the limitations, maybe some groups of people may have more blessings, other may have very much lesser, and you can see that that difference of societies, difference in the classes in the societies might occur. Sometimes one of the other results of this is that people who are good might get deviated. Yes, so there are two things here. There's a material damage that the society can be divided into a class system society, but there can also be spiritual damages in the sense that good people who had the potential to grow spiritually, they become deviated because of these things. Inshallah, if we get the opportunity, we shall delve more on this issue. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mukhtar in the program Gate of Knowlede on RIB English Radio.
قال النبي محمد من كنت مولاه هذا علي سيد فاز من ولاه هو بالكتاب مسدد والنور معنا باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من نداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال منه هو في الشدائد مجيد والفضل يمنى هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي ربا.
Join us in this journey. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are and wherever you are listening to us.
The keys of life.
The world is a very, very big house. Many people living in many rooms. We must open all the doors up. We must unlock them all today. Throw all the keys away.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Brothers, sisters, listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the program مفاتيح الحياة, Keys of Life. We have been looking at giving our brothers and sisters in faith the moral support they require throughout the ahadith of the Ahlul Bayt alayhum salam. And we did mention previously, even though quickly, which I would like to elaborate on more, is the dua that we have to do for our brothers and sisters in faith when they are absent. Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi as-salam, he says, أَسْرَعُ الدُّعَاءِ نَجَاحًا لِلْإِجَابَةِ. When it comes to du'as, some of them succeed and some of them don't. They succeed and fail depends on whether they are answered or not. That's the formula, the ground the Imam is trying to lay, the foundation he's trying to lay for us. That the du'as could be successful, could not be successful, depending on the ijaba. Then he says, Asra'ul du'a'i, the fastest of these du'as, to get answered is how, O Imam? He says, Du'a'il akhi li akhi, the supplication and dua of one brother to his other brother. In what condition, ya Imam? بِظَهَرِ الْغَيْبِ, when it is in secret. You know your friend is having a problem in the house. You know he has financial issues. You know he has a disease. You know he has his problems with his kids. You know he has a problem of this and that. And what do? He hasn't said nothing to you. No one did. You go to the masjid, you pray to a rakah, and you say, Oh Allah, Fulan is my brother. I love him. And I wish and I ask you with the infinitive mercy and compassion that you elevate his status and you solve his problem for him. The Imam says, this is the key. That is the cheat that he can get the dua answered quickly. وَإِذَا بَدَأَ بِالدُّعَاءِ لِأَخِيهِ, and once the person is doing the supplication and he just began his supplication, فَيَقُولُ لَهُ مَلَكٌ مُوَكَّلًا بِهِ, there's an angel that Allah will assign to you as you start to supplicate to your brother. What does this angel say? آمين ولك مثله. He says, Inshallah, Ameen. And the same goes to you. This is absolutely beautiful and cute when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, listen, you have problems, whatever it might be, financial, economical, family. Do dua for your friend. And not only would I help and elevate your friend's problem solved for him, but I will have a malak that is praying for you to give you the same. Do you see how this works? Now, let us take a short break and then let's elaborate more on that.
Ayatollah Javadi Amali, the author of the book مفاتيح الحیات, The Keys of Life.
این مفاتیح باید دو جلد باشه. چندین سال این حرف گفته میشه.
This book, مفاتیح, ought to be in two volumes.
یه جلدش هی مفاتیح الجنان است. چه فرون دماغ و سواب داره فرون روزون است.
One volume, the present volume, مفاتیح الجنان, is on the level of the lofty rewards for praying, fasting, etc.
یه جلدش کم داره و اون اینه که فرون درخت کاری اینجا کم ثواب داره, دعا هم داره, ثواب هم داره.
But the book lacks its second volume, which ought to be on subjects like the lofty rewards for planting a tree.
امام اونطوری که اینو گفته دارم گفته دی اون امامی که گفته اگر روزه بگیری ثواب داره، همون امام گفته که اگر درخت بکاری اون ثواب داره.
Imam has mentioned both of these subjects. The very Imam who has stressed out the reward for praying has also highlighted the reward for planting a tree. There are generous amounts of reward for protecting the environment. When growing wheat, take some in your hand and say these prayers. These are what the very Imam has mentioned. We lack this second volume in Islamic world.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Mafatih al-Hayat, Keys of Life. So before the break, we were saying that Allah assigns an angel to you once you start praying for your brother in faith in secret. And that malik says Ameen, which means he says Inshallah, which he says Inshallah Allah will do this for you. You ammin ala du'a'ak. And also he says the same goes to you, bro. Now, why does the malik say or the angel say the same to you? We know. We have another hadith that says, or Allah says, supplicate to me, id'uni bidu'ain or bilisanin, supplicate to me in a tongue that you have not committed a sin with. Now, oh Lord, this is not going to be easy. How do I supplicate to you in a tongue that I have not committed a sin with? Lie, I don't know, foul language, something I said wrong, something I said that was haram. And then when the Prophet asked Allah, oh Allah, how do I do so? He said, pray for your believing brother in faith. And he's like, how is that related, oh Allah? He said, when you pray for your brother in faith, what I will do is I will assign an angel that will pray for you. So the angel says, oh Allah, Sayyid, he said, oh Allah, give Fulan $1,000 or at least elevate him or elevate his status, solve his problem, cure his disease. And I have a disease myself, I have debt myself. So the malik would pray for me. He says, oh Allah, cure Sayyid out of his disease. Oh Allah, give Sayyid the wealth that he requires. Now the angel has prayed for me in a tongue which I have never committed a sin in. Another merciful, beautiful, gorgeous, sweet loophole from Allah himself to show his love towards them. Do you see how that works? Now, sometimes we're doing this whole thing wrong, this whole dua concept. I sit day and night supplicating, doing khatm this and khatm that, 1,000 of this, 1,000 of that. Allah says, why? And this might not be answered, mind you. You can do a khatm of 1,000 salawat. Allah might say, well, yeah, it's good. I'm going to give you hasanat for it. You know, poor you went through the effort. I'm just not going to accept your answer. I'm not going to give you the answer. I'm not going to accept your dua. So Allah, what is the trick here? He says, simple. Look at your brother. See who has the same problem as you. Sit down. Bring him in name. Say, oh Allah, please, Hassan, Hussein, Muhammad, Qasim, Jassim, they have these problems. Please help them solve it. And you have to do it sincerely, and you have to do it for their sake, obviously. You're not doing it just, oh, I'm doing it so I can get something in return. No. Genuinely feel their pain and genuinely pray for them. You do so, and Allah will elevate yours. And the Imam alayhi salam, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq says, Dua ar-rajul li akhihi bi dhahr al-ghayb. When a mu'min prays for his brother in secret, yadurru rizq, it will bring sustenance, will bring you wealth, wa yadfa' al-makruh, and pushes away every calamity. What else do you want? What else do I want? I want money, and I want everything good. Allah says, sure, I will give it all to you. All you have to do is pray for your brothers and your sisters, not yourself, and be selfish. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Driving past, walking fast to the field of truth. Hear the children scream.
There was The Keys of Life by Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, IRIB English Radio.
Every corner represents a different image in my mind. A momentary emotion, space spent in time, in time.
Black and white.
Frente a una crisis general económica, social.
Faced with a general economic, social, and criminal crisis, is Ecuador on its way to overcome them or simply failing in the attempt and even ending as a failed state?
O simplemente a fracasar en el intento e incluso quedar como un estado fallido? Hoy día, el gobierno de Daniel Noboa.
Today, Daniel Noboa's government has undertaken a war against crime,
a la cual acusa de ser terrorista.
He calls criminals of terrorism and cleverly tries to assimilate or present it as the same as the resistance of social movements.
La resistencia de los movimientos sociales. En Ecuador hoy día.
In Ecuador today, a country of almost 18 million inhabitants, we have 5 million inhabitants who live with only $3 a day, and almost 3 million who live on $1.50 a day.
Que viven con $1.50 al día.
And 66% of jobs are informal.
6% de los empleos son informales.
That is the reality of Ecuador.
Noboa, en medio de esta guerra a la delincuencia.
In the midst of this war on crime, Noboa has unleashed a number of privatization actions. For example, in electricity, raising the prices for the population.
Y subir incluso las tarifas de la misma la población. Noboa, en esta guerra contra la delincuencia, ha condonado la deuda.
Noboa, in this war against crime, has forgiven the debt of large economic groups, and yet he has raised or proposed the raising VAT by 3 points at this moment. That will rise to 15%, which is a lot in a country with a dollarized policy.
La guerra a la delincuencia ha traído.
The war on crime has brought his friends from the leadership of the Southern Command, headed by Laura Richardson, to organize the country. The North Americans are there, because today they enter Ecuador without any inspection of their documents, or what they bring. In any case, when they leave, they're not inspected either. That's the agreement they reached. The police and soldiers who arrive in Ecuador, according to what they have agreed, will not have to give any account to the Ecuadorian authorities, even if they commit the most cruel crimes.
Aunque cometan delitos de los más crueles, ninguno.
And they can walk freely in the country. That's the reality.
Esa es la realidad.
The weapons of Russian origin that were in Ecuador. What do you think about that?
¿Qué creen? Se lo pasó Noboa.
Noboa passed them under the Pentagon. That happened also to those of Chinese origin. All are to be sent to Ukraine. A Ukrainian plane belonging to Zelensky landed a few days ago in Quito.
Un avión ucraniano de Zelensky aterrizó hace pocos días en Quito. De cualquier manera,
In any case, sovereignty, independence, and social rights today have blatantly receded in Ecuador. Ecuador is stopping to be a country and is becoming a factory. The problem for us, the Latin Americans, is that the United States is planning for the rest of our continent. This is Black and White. I'm Eduardo Artes.
Eduardo Artes. Bien, hoy estamos con
Irene. Well, today we're with Irene Leon from Ecuador. Ecuadorian sociologist, political analyst, and member of the World Social Forum, WFS, since its inception in 2021. Also a member of the Social Forum of the Americas and the Network of Intellectuals, Artists, and Social Movements in Defense of Humanity. Welcome to Black and White.
Bienvenida a Negro y Blanco.
Hello, I'm very happy to be with you in this program, and at this time, I'm at your service.
Irene, ¿qué pasa en Ecuador?
Irene, what is going on in Ecuador? What is the story of criminals and drug traffickers? Is there a power struggle in Ecuador? They attacked a television channel. The same thing is said about the social groups. In many cases, social organizations are accused of terrorism. The topic of conversation is not drug traffickers, but terrorists. What is the foundation of these issues? What is really going on in Ecuador?
Well, I think the key to this is the condition that Ecuador is in. Since more than 6 years ago, there was a promise of change in Ecuador, change and transformation of the country with a governance and project definition for the country and based on different dimensions of such issues. Ecuador wanted to implement socialism and good life, which has the support of the Constitution. Our Constitution is considered one of the most advanced constitutions in the world. Ecuador was once the second country in Latin America and the Caribbean, but since 6 years ago, the country has plunged into what I call a neoliberal coup. In other words, an attempt to restore neoliberalism to the country at any cost. Since then, our country has been grappling with legal war, political persecution, and judicial and media imposition based on some scenarios. In the end, all this case creates an environment in which politics, definition of the country, and country management within the framework of the provisions of the Constitution remain only in words and on paper. Therefore, in the same period of time, with the opening of the market and the governance of the country, various centers of illegal capital have been established in the country to provide the basis for neoliberal actions. The main focus is close to financial capital because Ecuador is a dollarized country. Ecuador lost its national currency more than 20 years ago, and the U.S. dollar prevailed through Ecuador. Therefore, these conditions have prepared the ground for various money laundering operations and unauthorized transactions. In these transactions, financial capital is transferred. Therefore, this financial flow is related to illegal businesses and is known as financial capital bank. It's very important that a turnaround has taken place in Ecuador and is taking place. In addition to illegal capital, there is the export sector, which is also very important, as well as the international trade sector, where there is also a possibility that illegal capital circulates in these sectors. Also, there are sections related to human trafficking and other trafficking, including drug trafficking. Therefore, I say all these issues to explain that this problem that exists is caused by the structural orientations of the country and the region. In this problem, the proceeds of these businesses, which are considered illegitimate, go into neoliberal and free market activities where different actors and sectors interact with each other, as I mentioned. As a part of these activities and shrinking the government, which is a part of neoliberalism, in Ecuador we see the transfer of power to powerful institutions, factual powers, that I mentioned. So all the trends that we're talking about, including attacks, drug trafficking, and a certain kind of violence that is seen, are caused by the opening of the market doors in Ecuador, the de-governance in the country, and the return of neoliberalism against the Good Life Constitution in Ecuador. The Constitution, contrary to this trend, defines Ecuador as a country with a multi-sector and diverse economy, whose production is also multi-sector and diverse. Ecuador plays a pivotal role in the structure of regional integration in Latin America and South America.
Yes, that's correct. We're going to take a short break. I think it became very clear that the root of this problem is the neoliberal system. We'll be back in a few seconds.
Estamos de regreso en el segundo bloque aquí en negro y blanco con.
We're back with Irene Leon from Ecuador in black and white. Irene, so far we feel that the actions taken by the young Noboa government are a clear abuse of the true crime situation.
Del joven Noboa, ya, que hay un aprovechamiento.
You have explained this situation very well, how this situation is connected with large economic groups. Let's be frank that the goal of Noboa is to drag the country into the mouth of American imperialism, that is, to bring the American military and announcing it.
Porque la llegada de las tropas norteamericanas o los anuncios de las mismas.
How should be described the presence of Laura Richardson? What do these agreements mean? 124 projects are planned for this year, and it's supposed to last for 5 years.
24 actividades ya planificadas y van a estar 5 años. ¿No? ¿Cómo se fortalece la presencia militar, policial?
How will these actions strengthen the U.S. military and police presence? In addition to the Manta base issue and the Galapagos becoming some kind of natural aircraft carrier, it seems they're taking advantage of this economic crisis, a crisis of crime, economics, privatization, increased VAT, etc. What else is in this?
Económica, privatizaciones, subida del IVA, etc. ¿No hay algo más en esto?
I think you touched on one of the central issues that is happening in Ecuador. We're not alone in our own country, and part of what is happening is due to differences regarding the country's model and orientation at the domestic level, which is related to the international geopolitical environment. But the United States is a very important player that has a geostrategic agenda for the region as well, for Latin America. In this framework, Ecuador has its own interest due to its geopolitical position and being located in the middle of the globe and benefiting from preferred ports in the Pacific Ocean due to several factors. And in addition, it is considered a key country for the new geostrategic arrangement and the hemisphere proposed by the United States. Therefore, the changes that have been taking place in Ecuador since 6 years ago, as I mentioned earlier, have a close relationship with the alignment of foreign policy with U.S. strategy and geostrategy. There are several examples in recent years. For example, the U.S. Senate approved the law related to the government of Ecuador, which is called the Cooperation Act between the United States and Ecuador, a law to rule another country. The United States passed a law for Ecuador that covers all areas of life in our country, not only international relations, but also geopolitical order, security, defense, political management, and others. This is an important precedent. This law was passed in December 2022. Then during this process, we saw a diplomatic, or as you said, a military offensive Southern Command.
and what happened a few days ago in Ecuador are examples of this. Therefore, here we see the deployment of military force, which is against the Constitution, because the Constitution has introduced Ecuador as a country of peace without the presence of military bases and military aggression, especially foreign bases. Even in national definitions,